It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Davante Adams obviously would like to be in New Orleans, would like to be in New York with the Jets. There have been discussions, but I think the events in New York and the events in New Orleans may have slowed down talks with those two teams, and we'll see if and when they can pick up some steam, because everybody does expect that Davante Adams is going to be traded. We just don't know where and when, but right now the Jets are going through a head coaching change. New Orleans has an injured quarterback, and we'll see how that impacts Davante Adams going forward.
Jeremy and Joe, ahead of Bills-Jets, Monday Night Football coming up. You're going to this game.
I am going to this game.
You are going to this game.
My first time in that stadium.
I've not been to the new stadium. I went to the Meadowlands to see a Jets game. Jets-Colts.
Jets-Colts.
Yeah, I was in college. Okay. Someone came across free tickets and drove down to New York, watched Jets and Colts on a Sunday night.
So, God, I'm going to go to Jets-Colts.
Yeah. Pretty much.
What happened in Jets-Colts?
The Jets won.
Okay. Do you remember either of the quarterbacks?
I think Peyton Manning, Colts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Early Peyton Manning?
Yeah. It's probably...
And then what, like Vinny Testaverde, maybe?
I think the Jets won. It's Jets, Colts. I'm going to say it's the year 2000.
Okay.
Week 14.
The Meadowlands, I'm going to show my age here. The Meadowlands was right where the new stadium is, right? Basically?
Yes.
It was Jersey?
Yes.
Okay. Somewhere in Jersey. So I'm excited to see that stadium for the first time. Not that it's like, maybe it's one of the nicer stadiums, I think, in the league. It's not like one of the historic ones. It's not Lambeau. It's not Soldier Field or something like that, even Arrowhead.
Yeah, Jets 27-17, December 3rd, 2000. I was at that game.
Okay.
24 years ago, I saw the Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's before I came here to Buffalo. And I lived in Syracuse area. I went to Syracuse. I was a Giants fan. I never made it to a Giants game.
Yeah.
And had the ability to go to a Jets game with tickets randomly and went to that game. And, you know, the rest is history. Now I'm here and lived here for a long time and I'm a Bills fan.
This felt like the year to do the New York trip. Because when we looked at road games that we could go to this year, like Houston, all right. Miami's always a potential, but I would rather do Miami in a year where it wasn't in September.
Right, just like a December Miami trip.
Miami trip. Detroit, L.A. again, right? Like, we didn't do the L.A. trip the last couple of years, but it's like L.A. again, Indianapolis. I think we flirted with the idea of like a Notre Dame, Indianapolis trip.
Notre Dame plays Florida State that week.
Yeah, but winning, because it was also October 14th, right in the heart of fall, the winner was let's play Bethpage Black and then go to Bills Bills Jets. So that's exactly what we're doing.
Very cool.
This weekend. We also might go to Yankees Royals if that gets to a fifth game, but
look at you.
I've never been to a major league, well, I don't know. You tell me, can I say I've been to a Major League Baseball game? The only Major League Baseball game I've ever been to was Blue Jays Astros at Salem Field here in Buffalo.
I mean, you've been to a Major League Baseball game.
I haven't been to a Major League ballpark, though.
Yeah, okay.
So that would be a first for me, too, if that gets to it on Saturday.
To go to a Major League Baseball game and a postseason game in New York would be wild. I mean, that's nice. I've got
without any rooting interest though, because I don't really like the Yankees. I'm not going to be like outwardly like hissing and jeering them.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I got to root for Kansas City.
No,
Kansas City is enough stuff right now.
No, you're going to root for the. You go to that game, you're going to root for the Yankees. Period.
Oh,
you're going to root for the Yankees. You're going to go.
I don't know how I feel about that though.
You have to.
Why?
Because you don't.
Why?
You don't go to a show and hope that the Stars do bad. You're going into their house. If you're neutral, you go in there and you support the home team.
I don't know if I'm neutral though. I think if I ever have had one rooting interest in baseball, it's I'm rooting for whoever's playing the Yankees.
Then don't go to the game. Let somebody else to root for them go to that game.
I could root for the Royals.
No.
No?
No.
That's a bad idea?
Yes, it's a terrible idea.
Why?
Because you have the opportunity.
It'd be like you going to watch Duke play, I don't know, Purdue and rooting for Purdue.
Is it at Cameron Indoor?
Yeah,
I'm rooting for Duke.
No, come on.
Without question.
Did I pick the right team, by the way? Who would be your arch nemesis?
Doesn't even matter.
For Syracuse.
I mean, put it this way.
Duke.
My arch nemesis, UConn.
All right, so you're going to UConn to watch a game and they're playing Fresno State.
Okay, I wouldn't go. That's it. If I can't root for the team for a day.
You just wouldn't go.
I wouldn't go. That's it.
See, I don't have a problem going. I don't think I would do this because it's Kansas City, and I don't feel great about rooting for
Kansas
City.
If you're going to go experience the scene. To me, this is like.
I will stand up if there's like if there's a Judge home run. I'll get up, but I'm not like. You know, I will. I guess.
You will stand up, and you.
I'm not going to cheer, though.
You will high-five someone next to you.
See, that's what I was just getting to.
And you will high-five a stranger.
That's where I just stopped myself.
And
if somebody turns around to high-five me, I don't think I'll have it in me to leave him hanging.
Is that a top five feeling at any sporting event? Just high-fiving a stranger? Just because you're all celebrating the same thing?
I'm glad this came up. This is going to. We'll get back to the Bills and Jets in a minute. Larry, hang on. And anyone else wants to jump on the phones. So last night. Imagine for a moment you are at that Padres game when Tatis blasts that ball to the moon. And you're like, well, I'm not really here rooting for the Padres. Please. Absolutely. Get out of here. Please.
The Padres are not the Yankees.
It doesn't matter. I don't care about the Padres. If I was there, I would have taken my shirt off on that home run. He stands at the plate for a minute and a half and then flips the bat. It was an epic bat flip. Almost Batista level, not quite Jose Batista level, who had the greatest bat flip of all time. But that Tatis moment, like, watch. There are a few things in sports that are a cooler single shot than the dugout shot of a dude that smashes a home run, and you see all three levels of the grandstand, everybody stand up, arms up as it's on the way out. That's the coolest shot in sports. Watch that Tatis highlight. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you're going to the Yankee game, you're rooting for the Yankees. You have to.
I don't know.
I might get swept into it.
It's going to feel dirty. It's going to feel dirty.
It's going to feel great, is what it's going to feel. I went to a Tigers playoff game. Tigers and Rangers, I think. I don't even remember. A long time ago. I walked into Detroit. Hey, ticket to a baseball game are $40. Drive to Detroit, go there, and I'm the diehard Tigers fan of your life for 3.5 hours.
Yeah. For a day. Tigers fan for a day.
Try it on for a day.
Yeah.
It's not so bad. It's a good life. How different is it than...
But this is the Tigers. Like, I don't like these comparisons because the Yankees to me are like, that's the Death Star. That is the...
Yeah.
That is, they are the big bad...
Since
you
when?
Know.
What have they ever done to you, your life? The Yankees ruined a decade for me. What have they done for you?
I mean, every college football broadcast for an entire year because I had to watch Aaron Judge's AL home run chase.
All right, fair enough. But that's the worst they've done
to you. I don't know. They're always annoying. They're always in my face. I don't know.
They don't win
anymore.
They're
the Yankees.
When's the last time they won the World Series?
That's a good point. They haven't even been to the World Series, right? Since 2009?
Been a long time.
Okay. All right, I'll let you know how it goes. Also, for this all to happen anyway, it needs to get to a Game 5. So we would need the Royals to win one more game. So we'll see if that even happens. Also, that would be the night after we play Bethpage Black. So my mood will be very... Actually, my mood's going to be great. I don't care how I play. That's going to be the greatest course ever played.
Yeah. Yankees, World Series appearances. Just double-checking. I think it was the 2010s.
2009, right?
I think the 2010s were the first decade...
Where they didn't?
That didn't make it.
Okay.
Since, like, the 1910s.
Okay.
So it's been a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of New York. So Joe's going. You're going to play Bethpage, maybe do a Yankee game.
And then Bills
and
Jets.
And Bills Jets.
Yeah. So I'll miss the Manning cast.
It's fine. I'll tell you what happens.
All right.
Bills, Jets. Is it, I don't know. Everyone out there, judge yourself. Are we in panic mode or is this a panic mode watch? Right? We did the advisory, the advisories, yeah. Watches, and warnings. Are we on panic mode watch? Panic mode advisory?
Advisory, maybe?
I mean, people are still thinking they're going to be good and win games and probably go to the playoffs and probably win the division. This game will go a long way for that. But there's definitely uneasiness with what the offense and the passing game looks like. And, you know, the calls for whether it's a change at a coach, which I think are unlikely, but whatever, you can say what you want, or if it's a trade for a receiver, like we're 5 weeks in, and it's already, you've got to do something. You have to do something about this receiver group. You don't have the horses to complete a season like this. Now, is that panic or is that just reasonable reaction to a couple of games? Because I think it's reasonable.
I think it's absolutely reasonable.
I don't hear panic yet. I hear measured panic, evaluation.
Panic would be like thinking they're going to miss the playoffs, wouldn't it?
If they lose to the Jets, is that panic mode?
Well, and are we... Yes. If they lose to the Jets, it's panic mode. They shouldn't be losing to the Jets. I know the Jets defense is still really good, but I've watching that team all year so far, I would be it's bad to lose to them. That offense is not good. And the Bills defense should keep them within 20 points. And if you can't get to 20 points, we got problems. And the division is supposed to be, to me, right now, the bare minimum because of how easy it's looked early on in the year. And if you can't take advantage of that, I might be in panic mode at that point. I think panic mode right now would be thinking their receivers are so bad, it's going to potentially cause them to miss the playoffs. And I'm not there. I'm still thinking it would be really stunning if they found a way to miss the postseason.
803-0550. Larry in South Florida as we connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good.
So, this one's a tough one. The Jets' defense and the way our offense is going and the way we're calling plays and the way our receivers are just god-awful. Last year, I called you before the opening game, and I said, if Josh Allen throws on the sidelines, we're going to have a long day. Because that's all we do is really throw on the sidelines. We have this wonderful tight end, pass-catching tight end, playmaking tight end, who should be going over the middle, but every time it's a damn out route, and it's to the sidelines. Their cornerbacks are just going to be sitting there waiting for it, and Josh has not had a pick all year. If they have this game plan going in, I'm not only predicting a pick, but I'm going to predict more than one, and I'm also going to predict a pick six. Sauce Gardner is just going to be sitting there waiting. And so
it's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.com.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That other corner who's really good and really fast. So I think Joe Brady's got to dial up more motion. We didn't really see much motion last week and against Baltimore. The same idea. They just... I mean, using the word scared is the wrong word, but they just... they played so darn conservative, and then... we went back to just throwing the ball up aimlessly instead of having a real game plan to follow. I don't understand what happened. Houston was there, even though Josh was horrendous. Houston was there for the taking. And that was, once again, a coaching decision. So I don't know if you guys saw that little article by Adam Schein. Now, he's a huge Bills backer and a huge Bills supporter. And he came out and said, like, I called you guys Monday. I was really heated. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. He said they'll never win with McDermott.
McDermott has to go. And it was about McDermott. They're never going to win a Super Bowl. McDermott, I don't just stop there. I don't think they'll ever see another championship game with McDermott. And he's got, in my opinion, you know, they let Saleh go. Great. Why aren't we letting McDermott go? Because, in my opinion, they're 1A, 1B. McDermott was hired before Bean. I know McDermott has say for Bean to come in, so I don't think Bean's ever going to pull the trigger on McDermott due to loyalty. And since Bean's really not McDermott's boss, how much of this team is really Bean's? Like, I know we talked about that back-to-back, Russo and then the Boogie Basham pick. That is ridiculous. It should have been Russo and then a wide receiver, or Russo and then an offensive tackle, or Russo and a tight end. It should have been something to help Josh let him just flourish. And my other... point is, Joe, I wasn't even going to bring it up, but you said something earlier in the program, and it just set me off. How can the Sabres stink so much yet again? I mean, come on.
Well, there's go to Prague to this, Larry. There's a potential point to be made. The Devils are probably really good.
The Devils are a great team.
The Devils are probably going to be very, yes, very good. So you played two games against a good team. You lost. All right, let's see how they respond.
It was a 112-point team 2 years ago that was probably only bad last year because both goalies got hurt, their top two centers got hurt, and their number one defenseman got hurt. You tell me a team that would survive that.
Right, so we'll see. The Sabres can make not quite a statement on Thursday against the Kings, but they've got the Kings and then the Panthers, and then three games against teams they finished ahead of last year. So I want to give it the next five games before I say, you know, they're in trouble already.
But it didn't look good.
No, that's right. It didn't look good. Thanks, Larry.
One thing he brought up that I have a tough time with is evaluating Bean. Because I hear that a lot. And it might be right of, is Bean just, one, on Larry's point, like, you don't think Bean would ever pull the trigger on McDermott. I don't think Bean has the authority to fire Sean McDermott. I think that is from Terry Pegula. That is from the ownership group.
Right, they each report to him.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. They can't fire each other, in my opinion.
There could be, and I only say this not again, like about the Bills, but Robert Saleh got fired probably because of some sort of power struggle, who likes who.
Sure, right.
Like, Rodgers doesn't actually have the authority to fire Saleh. The GM does.
But he might have the influence.
Sure. Yeah. And Nathaniel Hackett is whatever. Like, there, of course, could be a power struggle, which I don't think there will be.
Right.
With this team.
That's right. But that comment about how, well, Bean's just picking the guys McDermott wants. Maybe. Like, I don't know, because what I have struggled with Bean and, like, how much criticism to levy against him for the build of this roster is there are times where I feel like, yeah, like, this is a McDermott guy, this is a McDermott guy. And then when they pick their guys on offense, it's, well, Josh wanted Kincaid, and Josh wanted Keon Coleman. So I'm kind of left up in the air on Bean of, I Should I be looking at him, targeting him for player evaluation, or should I not be because he's just doing what the coach and the quarterback want?
It's a fair question. No matter what, McDermott gets the buck stops here with McDermott. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of Bills fans, if the offense is bad, it's because of McDermott's decisions to bolster the defense. If the defense is bad, it's McDermott's fault, whether that's Leslie Frazier or Bobby Babich. Like, it's McDermott gets, like you just laid it out there, who they draft comes down to McDermott wanted that guy.
Yeah.
Or I guess in this case, Josh Allen wanted that guy.
At least on a couple of them, right? Because we have comments about Allen texting, right? Like he wanted Kincaid or with Coleman, the same thing. And then, by the way, on the pick six thing, Allen currently is the third longest streak in NFL history of not throwing a pick six.
Predicting his first ever.
That would be is it his first ever? Just first? I think he had one in his like third game. The Packers, maybe?
Okay, I don't remember that one.
I'll look it up. Maybe I'm wrong. All I know is he's the third longest active streak in NFL history. Yeah, no, I'm looking at it now. Streak started on September 15th, 2019.
Okay.
So he has
one
somewhere.
Mike in Tonawanda is up next. Hey, Mike.
How you doing, guys? Quick thing before I was going to make my point, because I was just thinking about it a while ago. Can Josh not hit seam routes? Because I was just watching a couple of clips of like Gronkowski and different things like that, and I know we got these two tight ends, and like other than the other day, he attempted one the other day that got tipped or whatever, but like thinking back, has he ever hit like a seam route? It seemed like he can't hit those throws. And secondly, what I was going to say, my original point why I called, I honestly feel like if we lose Monday night, even though we're just 3-3 and we're just in second place in the division, I feel like the season's done, to be honest with you guys. And I know it was not mathematically done, but I just feel like because they'll go on a little run. They'll beat the Titans and the Seahawks, whoever. You know, we've seen this song and dance before. But as far as, like, making some kind of, like, miracle run or whatever like that, I just feel like the fan base, you know, everything's going to be so deflated if we lose to that dumpster fire in New York. I don't care what the culture changes is or whatever like that. If they do not separate themselves Monday, I feel like, mentally, I feel like the season's done, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, and again, like I said, they'll go on a run, they'll beat the Titans at home and whatever, but like the deflation everybody's going to feel that just being 3-3 from where we started and how they looked the past couple weeks, and especially if they look bad on Monday night, it's a wrap. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I know what you mean. There's the season is over. It's not actually over. They can make the playoffs. You would say if they lose to the Jets, you'd have serious doubts about like what they could do. Like Miami, when Miami lost to the Bills, the season was over. Like, sorry, you lost them. Tua's hurt. It's over. Maybe they can come back. Maybe Tua can get healthy again, and they can push for a playoff spot. But like, you're done. Everybody knows what you are. I feel that way about the Jets. That their season's over. I do not believe that Rodgers is good enough to lead them to where they want to go. Here's Woody Johnson firing the coach, making a change. Okay, we'll see if they trade for Davante Adams. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is good enough anymore to win like that. But you know that could be wrong. We have our jokes that if you run on 2nd and 17, your season is over because you don't trust your pass. You don't trust your passer to get 8 yards and try and make it more third manageable. But you know, if they were to lose to the Jets, it would mean that they're in a real dogfight for the division. They really are a win over the Jets from everybody kind of feeling comfortable and being back to evaluating them not on the division but on the conference. And they do have losses again to Baltimore and Houston.
Yeah,
and they're going to play Kansas City. If they go 0-3 against those three teams, I know what someone will say. Sure, you're going to make the playoffs. What are you going to do? Go 3-0 against three teams that already beat you? Maybe. Back to the McDermott point that Larry was making. He said Adam Schein had a piece up that McDermott will never win. I'll just throw my hand up in the air and self-report on this. I don't know that I ever get to that with any coach that wins. Coach, I know he's got Josh Allen. If you show me a bad coach, I'll tell you, you won't win with this guy because he's provably terrible at his job and doesn't win games. Like the Sabres have had a lot of coaches that don't win. But when you get to where McDermott has, I cannot comfortably say you will never win with him. That's not to say he's the best you could possibly do, but NFL history and sports history is littered with too many stories of guys that were told they cannot win, and then they win, and they win again, and they win a lot. And I can't overlook those. So Andy Reid was, he can't win. And now all he does is win. Well, he got Mahomes. I know. I get it. to tie it to one guy, he can never win. I just have a tough time with that. I'm not here to tell you you're wrong, but I don't know that you'll ever hear me say it, because these mistakes, lots of coaches make horrific mistakes like this. And on the final drive, we're going to get to Joe Marino next. On the final drive, I am turning more toward Allen than I am McDermott. I think it's more, yeah. I think that the final drive in Houston is more on the quarterback than the coach. The coach put it in the best player's hands for three plays. And I know that you don't love your weapons, but you had options. You had plays. And he is turning down available options to throw down the field. I'm not thinking that the final three plays in Houston is on the level of offense with 13 seconds or, you know, the Philadelphia game. So to that point, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, he'll join us next. He had an interesting take on that final three plays, including what went wrong on the first one, the throw to Keon Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
What really went wrong there? It's maybe not what you think went wrong on that play. So Joe Marino's on the way next. We'll chat with him. He did the All-22 breakdown. He always does an All-22 every week for every game. Would recommend big time listening to Joe on those. And we'll get that. So what happened on the first play of that final possession that we didn't necessarily see on the broadcast that shows a couple layers of their problems? We'll get to that coming up here on WGR.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.